Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Wednesday, 16th of September, 2020, and a pretty standard session in the U.S. yesterday with this a bounce back continuing a bit, getting into those levels that we talked about yesterday as well. The first Fibonacci of retracements there around 11,500 on the NASDAQ 100, as you can see on slide one, and arguably we're still in a correction mode and potentially in a market turnaround mode as long as we're below the 61.8 arguably, which is still quite a bit higher, around 11,860. Interesting session yesterday in a lot of respects. I think one of the things we talked about this morning, Peter, was this, you can see clear signs of the market really returning in full force into some of these very speculative types of bets. So we have on slide two, the Tesla options once again coming into focus here, and just doing a capture of the contracts that traded yesterday. So the top handful of call option contracts controlling an underlying notional of some $19 billion in just one day of trading. And you can see the price action on the chart on the left there on slide two. Is this anything else you want to pull out of yesterday's session, Peter? I mean, this is a clear sign to me that Tesla is a bit of a thing unto itself. The broader market wasn't going crazy. It was more Tesla, but
the market itself, it was a decent rally, and we hit a stumbling block around at the 38.2 retracement level, both in the S&P 500 but also the NASDAQ. Mm-hmm. But we pushing higher again today, not above that level, but we're pushing back. The action, the price action we're seeing in Tesla, but also in Nikola, which is still have all this uncertainty around, well, is it a fraud deception case or is it actually a real case? You have had some of their GM and Bosch and other suppliers and partners actually been out supporting the company. But you can just see from the price action yesterday that the sentiment is really being building again. And with this call option, it seems like the retail investors are sort of re-aiming and with new ammunition here. And Snowflake, which I wrote an IPO preview piece on Monday, will have its first day of trading today. It was priced yesterday. And just to give you some flavor here, John, so it started out with its first initial S1 filing with a pricing range of $75 to $85 per share. Then it raised it because of high demand. Berkshire Hathaway, Salesforce Venture Fund wanted to get into the action. They raised it to $100 to $110 price range. And then yesterday, they finalized it at $120.
Wow.
So I think that just underscores the speculative nature that has come back into the market. And because of all these signs, the Tesla, the Snowflake, I have the opinion, I think the probabilities are skewed in the direction of a further rebound and upside. And I think the next test will be the 50% retracement level.
Also on the something like Snowflake, I don't know how quickly the options market would get established there, but interesting to see the price action in the initial days of trading on an IPO like that. Let's also look at something that you wanted me to mention this morning, Peter, and I actually was being a little bit lazy and not investigating it further, but this German ZEW expectations yesterday, we talked a bit about Chinese data proving a bit stronger than expected. It was better than expected data, but wasn't, smashing it out of the park or anything, but something like this German ZEW expectations, given, we are seeing a comeback economically in Europe, but it's not particularly robust domestically effort from appearances. But a number like this is a German industry. So you have to imagine that there's what your point was. This could be signs that we're seeing proper Chinese demand filtering through to the key export economy in Europe, which is, of course, Germany.
Or at least, if not only China, then at least the entire Asia region, I think, which have managed the COVID-19 arguably much better than both the United States and Europe. And I think that is what really being reflected in this German ZEW expectations index. And I'll be having a little bit of look after this podcast on how such a high ZEW index value together with the positive momentum on a month-on-month basis, how that have translated into future returns because if you go to slide four, you can see the Eurostoxx 50, which is still our leading benchmark index here in Europe, is still in a very, very tight, and the trading range is getting more and more compressed. I mean, the last three trading sessions, we are now trading between 3,300 and 3,350. So it's only a 50-point range there. And I'm just putting out a question here. I think with the strong set of W, and I know we have these resurgences in COVID-19 cases and hospitals in Paris being maxed out and all that, but I just think that the probabilities are increasing here for an upside breakout in European equities. Also because the continent's shares here have been lacking both the United States and Asia so much. So I think this is increasingly where you should put your focus.
But have a look at that data series. We put it on slide three, the German ZEW, and this is the expectations portion of that survey. It is a 20-year high. So the last time it got to these levels was
May 2000.
2000. And also noticing just on this series, you know, we had that horrible tank for one month really only on the series. So it's not like we're sort of compensating for a whole series of very, very bad readings. These have come well back higher, and then and now we're getting on top of that further new highs, 77.4. So just an interesting data point that requires some sort of explanation in our view, yeah. And worth some consideration there. Now, let's not forget today, not much of a segue here, but today is FOMC day. And of course, there's a lot of attention on the Fed's new average inflation targeting regime. And what's that mean? What does that mean? And of course, this has been one of the quarterly meetings. So they're March, June, September, December, where the Fed comes out with its latest projections on the economy and on policy. And I put on slide five, I just took a brief little snippet from their June projections, where, of course, they got things badly wrong. They overestimated how bad the drag would be on unemployment, for example, put their end of 2020 expectations at 9.3%, when we've already seen 8.4% in August. So that's going to obviously be revised. But the most interesting thing will be the PCE inflation, which they knocked lower, expecting this to be a disinflationary move. There's a lot of scrambling to price in higher inflation rates. The really difficult thing for the Fed will be if their PCE inflation is undershooting, their forecasts are undershooting, and what is the policy mix, and what do you do with an average inflation targeting regime when it's getting badly out of whack to the upside inflation and the unemployment rate is not coming down as quickly as expected? That's the big policy challenge to me next year. But first, of course, we would need to see those high inflation readings coming in, but you can see that they've out through 2022 are only expecting 1.7% on the PCE inflation. And do keep in mind, they will be putting out forecasts through 2023. So there could be some interesting messages in where they expect the policy rate to be out that far into the future. And then on the right, I put a dollar yen chart just because dollar yen is working on it down into interesting levels and could be quite reactive around the FOMC. Especially after we saw a strong U.S. Treasury auction yesterday. Yields still quite low, but they're just not moving anywhere. I think some of this may be around yen playing a bit of catch-up against a weaker dollar. And we have a new prime minister in Japan, so we're getting clarity there. No snap election looks likely for now, arguing that doing so in the midst of a COVID-19 outbreak would be irresponsible. And Suga promising to more or less continue with Abenomics policies. But just watch dollar yen. Things get interesting for the yen when you're working down below 105 technically. It's a level that goes back at least a couple of years. And then on euro yen, which I have on slide six, look at that one as well. 124.50, a huge level, head and shoulders, sort of neckline type area. An interesting signs there that the euro has overshot. I also suspect one of the things that have been dragging the yen a bit higher, sort of in basket terms, has been the very, very strong surge in the Chinese renminbi in recent weeks, really, but especially this week.
Yeah, and this is probably a segue again. It is back and forth between the various things, but we have to talk about Europe as well. We had a conversation yesterday about H&M and Ocado really showing pretty okay numbers, especially H&M. So highlighting a little bit of that, we're seeing a return by European consumers. And Inditex is reporting today their first half revenue, which is basically in line. Their operating loss was better than expected, so by I think around 100 million euros, so not a big thing. But I think the most important one was the stock in trade, which is basically their inventory tracking, was down 19%, highlighting their very flexible business model, and they're able apparently to, you know, change their inventory to the demand picture. So that's a positive for Inditex, and I think the different results that we have got from H&M and Inditex, I think, and also some of the French retailers as well, highlighting that Europe is slowly coming back. I don't think the rebound is as forceful as we see it both in the US and Asia, but it's coming back and it's improving. And with that ZEW, again, I just want to highlight that I think Europe should be more and more on our radar. And so we're not only talking about US technology, because I think we are getting to that interesting inflection point where we could really begin to see some action in European equities. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. That's interesting. Interesting points there on Europe. I think a huge question mark, especially like you said, given that tiny range in European indices, where do we break out here? And briefly, before we get to the calendar, notice that oil has been retracing as we're seeing a bit of ebullience across some risk markets here, at least a bounce back in risk, and it's reached a key Fibonacci level, but still has a lot of wood to chop before we can call it back onto the rally track. You can see that on slide 7 and note that we have the latest weekly inventories out of the U.S. today. And that does take us to our calendar. A couple interesting points, I think, will be in the August U.S. retail sales after those unemployment benefits got cut with the 1st of August. How much does that drag in the sort of K-shaped narrative scenario, the lower end of the, you know, those that are losing out the most from the COVID crisis, seeing their incomes vastly curtailed, whereas there's increased confidence in a lot of places in the market. We're seeing it among other places in the housing market in the U.S. We also have the latest September NAHB housing market index coming up a bit later. And we saw a record high in that series as we're seeing record low mortgage rates across the U.S. So, how does all this feed into the aggregate retail sales would be quite interesting. And then, as we already mentioned, the FOMC meeting and the Powell press conference, where we can see the most interest, I think, in terms of market reaction would be around the press conference and how Powell is getting questioned on their average inflation targeting regime, as this will be the first proper FOMC meeting and press conference after they've announced that new policy regime. And then finally, just want to note that Australia is reporting its latest employment change and unemployment rate data out tonight. And it's interesting to see that we could be looking at the worst unemployment rate since the early 90s, expected to tick higher at 7.7%, and it would be vastly worse were it not for this Australia JobKeeper program. And I was looking at some of the numbers there. The amount of benefits is quite generous, but with the end of September, so in just 2 weeks' time, we're going to see the main payment reduced from 1,500 Aussie per fortnight or per 2 weeks to 1,200. And then at the end of December, we would see further reductions, as well as a total elimination of this coronavirus supplement, which is around currently 1,100 plus Aussie dollars per 2 weeks. So interesting to see how the unemployment rate shapes up from here there. And noticing as well, a little bit surprised to see the Aussie as elevated as it is. And we saw a very ugly session overnight for iron ore, one of the worst in recent memory, and taking it to a multi-week low. So have a look at Aussie. Obviously, it would be very sensitive to risk sentiment, which is quite strong at the present time, but there are other things that could be dragging on Aussie. It's being kept up to a degree, I think, by that Chinese yuan strength that we've seen of late. I think for today, we'll call it a day, noting, again, this frothy speculation in the U.S. bubble stocks are quite interesting, and you know, the risk is extremely high in both directions there, so be careful out there on that account, and we'll see where things stand tomorrow after this FOMC meeting today in our next Saxo Market Call. For today, thanks for joining.